There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
I am in Washington, D.C., and we are broadcasting right across from the Supreme Court at Families First USA Radio Row, stopping by Ian Millhiser, right?
That's right.
Ian Millhiser is with me. He's so patient. He's been sitting here smiling and so affable, and he's got a cool book out, which I'm sure I'm going to be reading. You know, I come from a family of lawyers. Injustices, the Supreme Court's History of Comforting the Comfortable and Afflicting the Afflicted. Wow. And speaking of the afflicted, of course, the whole thing now is about this challenge, King versus Burwell, and whether or not maybe up to 13 million people will lose their subsidies. That's really, if we drove a stake into it, that's at the heart of this. Your take on how big it is to tell the listeners that this isn't just, oh, a challenge to the Affordable Care Act, that this could mean for people listening, those that need those subsidies, they're out, right?
Right. I mean, this is a huge lawsuit. We're talking about millions, as you said, as many as 13 million people could lose their health insurance. By one estimate, 10,000 people will die every year if this case goes the wrong way.
So how do you get the estimate of, because I know people will challenge, how does Ian come up with 10,000 people will die, and what do you mean by that?
So there was a study that was done in Massachusetts which found that for something like for every, like, I think it was 834 people who were insured under Romney Care.
Right.
One person who otherwise would have died wound up living because they were able to afford health care. That's what this study said. And so if you take those numbers and you flesh them out nationally to the states that will be impacted by this King decision, then it adds up to this. It's about 9,900 people.
Wow.
will wind up dying every year. So that's a lot of mothers who won't get to hold their sons again, and a lot of husbands who won't get to kiss their wives again if this case goes badly.
What do you say, Ian, to the people on? You know, this has obviously been controversial from the start. Healthcare is so personal for so many people. If you're healthy, you feel one way, then all of a sudden somebody in your family gets thrown into a tumultuous situation, and right, then you realize what, you know, where we are. So when you look at the trajectory of this, and there was problems stumbling out with, you know, getting people signed up and all of that, what do you tell the critics, the people listening out there that are like, this is terrible? How can we, you know, we just need to erase the state lines, and why can't we, this be about competition? And what do you tell them about the reasons why that doesn't work?
Right. So when you're talking about insuring millions of people who have previously been uninsured, that's a massive undertaking. And with any massive undertaking, there are a lot of opportunities for logistical failures, and we have seen many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there are plenty of opportunities for things to go wrong doesn't mean that things can't be cured, that they weren't cured. And what we see, you know, you can look at the Gallup polls that show that it used to be that 18% of the country was uninsured, and now it's closer to 12 or 13% of the nation is uninsured. So we're seeing that line go straight down. We've seen healthcare costs finally start to come under control. You know, one of the biggest threats to our economy is that the cost of health care was inflating faster than everything else was, including wages.
Mm-hmm.
So even though people were getting raises, their entire raise and then maybe more of their base income was getting eaten up by their increased health care costs. That has started to come under control since this law. So all of the horrible things that we thought would happen, or at least that people said would happen, haven't happened. And it's part of what makes this lawsuit so shocking. Because, you know, why would the Supreme Court, at the moment of the law's greatest triumph, and, you know, at the moment when it's clear that, like, all the things that people were worried about, actually, we don't need to be worried about them, then say, oh, no, just kidding, based on a reading of the law that's frankly laughable, we're going to take health care away from millions of people.
Well, and why is it that, I mean, this is almost a layup question, and you know the court systems and whatnot. What I don't understand is why can't why wouldn't this be a common denominator? I get politics and I get ideologies, but why wouldn't this be a common denominator? Why wouldn't there be more committees to work this all out, of both Republican and Democrat?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that question, because it would have saved us a pretty difficult last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I can tell you this. So Bill Kristol, who's now a very prominent conservative writer, used to be a fairly influential Republican strategist, wrote a memo during the Clinton health care fight where he said, look, we got to block this thing because people will really like it if they get health care, and
right.
it's going to be hard for Republicans to win election.
Right.
So, like, I think once people realize what Obamacare is actually accomplished, they're really going to like it. And there's obviously a lot of people a lot of politicians who have an interest in making sure that people don't really like Barack Obama.
So you think it's all about that. It's all about the political side of it, in a sense. If, depending, 2016 is huge, well, what if it's Hillary Clinton that comes in? Then it would be kind of the same continuum that would go down, and depending on the makeup, I guess, of Congress, too, as well. And you look at numbers and you look
right.
at that. So what's your gut tell you with the Supreme Court on this one? What way do you think it goes? I'm all about predicting.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a sports person, too. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, as you can guess from the title of my book,
mm-hmm.
Injustices, you know, I'm not a fan of the Supreme Court or of the Supreme Court as an institution. That said, the Supreme Court is very different from the president and Congress. You know, if you're an elected lawmaker, you have the will of the people behind you. If you're the Supreme Court of the United States, the only thing that gives you legitimacy is that you have to follow the law. And I am hopeful, and we've seen some signs, especially from Chief Justice Roberts, that he may think this way, that he will realize that in a case like this, where it would be so partisan, and we have so little legal basis to do so, if he were to gut the Affordable Care Act in this partisan environment, it is going to destroy the legitimacy of his institution, and hopefully that'll give him pause and will make him back away.
So, we know that they're hearing the oral arguments. We won't know the decision probably till, who knows, June. They could, just before they, you know, take a break, it could come down then. So there'll be a lot of speculation and a lot of back and forth. Let's say that the subsidies basically go bust, meaning Texas would be affected because the people there, Florida, some of the biggest places, Georgia would be
right.
another place. I mean, basically, let's give or take 13 million people. Then what happens to them in the system?
Well, you know, and that is the real tragedy. You know, I mean, there's a gentleman who filed a brief in the court who he has a heart condition. He's otherwise in peak physical care. I think he's actually a physical therapist.
Right.
But he has this heart condition where every 15 years or so he has to have an open heart surgery or his heart stops. If he doesn't get the surgery, which costs $700,000 a year, he dies. What do you think is going to happen to him without health insurance? You know, I know people who are transplant patients that have to spend tens of thousands of dollars a year on anti-rejection drugs, or their own immune system will attack their lungs, will attack their kidney, will attack whatever organ they've received. What is going to happen to them without health insurance? So, I mean, this is a case about life and death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what America is going to look like if the Supreme Court does the wrong thing in King. It's going to look like a much nastier place.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot of people that are going to be out there. The Supreme Court steps on all sides of this, talking about it. And for everybody listening across America, listening to the show in the nooks and crannies, please send us your thoughts, as always, at AmericaTonight.net. Ian Millhiser, very good. Injustices is the name of the book. You can pick it up on Amazon?
Absolutely.
All right, pick it up on Amazon. We'll continue here on Radio Row. Stay with us, everybody.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Even though here we are in Washington, broadcasting across from the Supreme Court, the oral arguments, of course, are going to be heard tomorrow, King versus Burwell. And it has to do with the subsidies, and technically, I guess, and the numbers fluctuate, but maybe 13 million people would lose those subsidies. And the states, I guess, that would be hit the hardest, Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, Georgia, certainly make that list. And if we look at the statistics on the Affordable Care Act and the subsidies, when the subsidies go and the premiums are pushed higher, that means most likely younger and healthier patients would probably drop their coverage, and those that stay would be paying the higher rates, and they are probably likely to be much sicker, and they would be paying the higher rates and use more of the health healthcare resources, so that would push rates for everyone in the states higher, which would cause more dropped coverage and, you know, so on and so forth, which, of course, that is at the heart of this for so many of you that call this show on a conservative bent or not. You're looking at your premiums. I mean, we talk about the premiums. We talk about getting the a la carte menus and how crazy all of that is, and there's no doubt. I say this all the time. You could walk up to anyone in a bar. You could walk up to anyone on the beach. You could walk up to anyone in the grocery store and say, hey, how would you like affordable care? How would you like affordable insurance? And of course, we're all going to say yes, as somebody who's been bounced around on with different coverages and different scenarios. I know exactly how you feel. So on that note, overwhelmingly a ton of response on this and a few other things as well. So let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
And checking the mail, we got this one from Bob in Illinois, who says, Kate, I'd be so interested to hear some of the stories of the people and their health care coverages and what really is working and what really isn't working. Not so much a lot of the rhetoric that we're hearing, but more of what it means personally to people and with these people on the subsidies, and especially the people who had to pay money back, because then, of course, that had to leave a nasty taste too as well. Well, yeah, in the tax situation where you had people that had to pay $500 back, although if you're talking about people who have serious diseases and they desperately needed the subsidies, you know, then they're in a much worse boat, certainly. No question about that. The problem is, and we know this, it's like we go back to the whole state lines thing again, and we go back to states, we go back to competition, and that conversation that, you know, that I've had so often here on the air, and it's insurance. It's the insurance companies who have driven this into the ground without a doubt. By the way, Benjamin Netanyahu addressing Congress couldn't be bigger in Washington, D.C., with the Supreme Court argument coming up, but also the Netanyahu address, and you had a few Democrats who opted not to listen to Netanyahu, but certainly there was a big presence on the Hill, and he talked about Iran, and he talked about cutting a deal with Iran, and what their aspirations were for that country nuclear wise and there's a lot of reaction to that, without a doubt. And some of you have reacted to the fact that the White House wasn't involved in this one from Nicole, who says, Kate, I just don't get it. Why would the president not want to have a conversation with the prime minister of Israel? Maybe he's only the prime minister for a couple more weeks, but I don't think, really, do you think that sways the vote that much? I think it's more smoke blowing than anything else. You know, I saw Valerie Jarrett on Morning Joe, and she talked about initiatives that they were rolling out, education, and that they were excited about it. And I mean, there's no question that obviously what's happening is skirting the whole Netanyahu, visit. And the president is getting some serious flack for that. You know, you've got what we have going on in the hopscotching of the Middle East, and why are we having this tension between Netanyahu and Obama? So Israeli leaders publicly were certainly trading lots of words, but there's lots of tensions around the U.S. talks with Iran over the nuclear program, and that was at the heart of Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to Congress, where he's pushing Congress to thwart the president's top foreign policy initiative. And I think this really was more at the heart of it than, oh, Netanyahu is running. I think that really was at the heart of this whole thing, without a doubt. And I got another one here from this one from Jake in Austin, and he says, Kate, give him hell in Washington. And with what's happening with Netanyahu and the president's snub, and then also what's happening with health care, let's get the politics out of health care. Let's do something different, like really, honest to goodness, go through and audit what's happening with these insurance companies. How come people don't suggest doing that? Do you think we'll ever in our lifetime solve this riddle? Now, I don't think in the lifetime. I think in the lifetime we're always going to have those battles. And it's like I've been talking to people here on Radio Row, and the concern is, I mean, when you think of your health, I mean, of course, all of us, I shouldn't say all of us, but eventually, depending on your lifespan and depending on your family's makeup, you're going to be touched by some of these horrific diseases that unfortunately are part of our lives. How many people listening to me are cancer survivors? How many people have lost lost a child or lost any other loved one because of it? And to me, the scarier thing is the fact that people are avoiding doctors because they can't afford doctors. And that's at the heart of this, of anything to do with health insurance and getting seen. It's when you find a lump. It's when you don't feel right and your stomach's not right, something's wrong, that you just decide, I can't afford this. I mean, they're creaming me. They're creaming me with the premiums and, you know, $6,000 premiums that are unaffordable for most people, and that also comes to the heart of insurance and affordability. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Supreme Court rules on the subsidy issue, because it could certainly it certainly could ixnay it. And then what is the plan after that? What's the plan just in general in the future as we look to, you know, the ACC? I mean, if the court strikes down the federal subsidies, then will Congress use the pressure from voters or health care companies to come up with a more conservative version of health care reform, changing the tax treatment for employer-sponsored health plans, allowing states more flexibility to spend Medicaid money, how about that, and design their own systems and, you know, get rid of the individual mandate if they want to. But the Republicans would have to go along with some of that, and clearly that would be a different momentum change if that were to happen, and if that group emerges. And some of the things that I just said there, I think, could be a much more successful way to deal with this. On the business front, there, what would happen if the U.S. healthcare system had its own economy? It would be the sixth largest in the world, larger than England's. Entire giant segments of the healthcare system redesigned their business models to take advantage of some of the incentives, and then some dropped them too, which happened to a lot of people, which was disastrous for so many. I mean, hospitals got a trade-off. They stopped getting government payments to offset the cost of treating uninsured, so that cut the amount to $269 billion over a decade, and they were promised millions of new patients insured through federal subsidies. So then what does that mean to the rest of us and our health care? And along those lines, that certainly was on the minds of many of you. Here's another one, this one from Joy, who says, Kate, have fun in Washington. I think it's interesting. I'm glad that you're looking at this from all angles. I heard you say that a couple of times, which I think is good, because let's have that conversation. Let's dig deeper. Let's find out what the alternatives are. Let's find out what's going on in people's lives. What does it mean? What does it mean for the 34 people, the 34 states who would lose subsidies? What happens to those people? I mean, are they thrown under the bus? That doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy, but it doesn't make me feel good about my health care coverage when I'm one of the middle class people that you're talking about, where we are squeezed and our premiums went up and our deductibles are just too darn high. It makes people like myself feel dissuaded from actually going to the doctors. All right, thanks for all of the emails. Keep them coming. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact, and bada bing, you're in. You know how I like to say that. And that's the way to get us 24/7. It's like a drive-through window. Throw me your thoughts. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The Freeze-Dry Guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The Freeze-Dry Guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
By now, you may have heard a bit about bitcoins. But did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Welcome to the show. She's in our virtual green room. Not really. She's sitting here right next to me. I'm so used to saying that when I have guests all over the place, but it's so cool to be in Washington. We're right across from the Supreme Court. We're here at Families First USA, Radio Row, and, of course, the oral arguments of the Supreme Court, King versus Burwell, and how many millions could lose that subsidy. That's kind of at the heart of it for the plaintiffs. And then they're challenging the federal government's ability to provide tax credits to consumers to offset the cost of health insurance premium in states that haven't set their own health insurance market practices. I mean, that's really at the heart of this, like I said. So with us now is Dr. Alice Chen. She is the Executive Director, Doctors for America. Dr. Chen, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first of all, let's just talk about how you view what's happening with the Supreme Court. When you heard that there was going to be the challenge, what was the, as a doctor especially, what was the first thing that you thought?
First thing I thought was, millions of people who just finally got health insurance are going to lose it if we don't, if this case doesn't go in the right direction, and that is not right.
Are you having people ask you those kinds of questions, I would imagine, because of your organization, writing in confused about what's, first of all, what's covered, what's not, what happens? Are you getting that because
getting
of the buzz?
That. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although, honestly, not enough people know that this is happening.
So that was what I was going to ask. So why is it that not enough people know? Because they're busy, we bury our heads in the sand. I mean, healthcare, this is your life. So yeah, whatever's going on in your healthcare, you want to know what your coverage is, what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I think it's kind of like the money thing. People don't want to talk about money, and they don't want to talk about their health, and especially if they're healthy. But then once you get thrown, as I've been saying here all day, a curveball, then things change for you. You've probably seen that, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I have seen people who are going on along their life. They're
perfect,
starting a new business. They're so excited, and then something happens. They get an infection. They get in a car accident, and then all of a sudden, they don't have health insurance, and they don't know what their future will hold, either for their health or for their finances and their career.
So with the subsidies, if that goes away, what does that mean for a lot of the people that you probably have talked to?
I mean, it means that 8 million people will lose their health insurance. They won't be able to afford it anymore. That insurance, they already have the card in their wallet, and they won't be able to use it anymore.
So it only means if there's a doctor who is just your family doctor, and they'll take cash or do something to try to help you out. That's the only way around it.
Yeah, or if there's a community clinic in your area. But the problem is that if you need specialty care, if you need surgery, if you need surgery, you don't have any extra time to go and ask, will you do this for free? Will you please help me? It's not the way the system should work.
And as a doctor, don't you find that? Because what happens is if you get catapulted into, I mean, I've seen this in my family, if you get catapulted into cancer or into mm-hmm. something else, you've got to come up. You're just worried about, what am I doing? What's the treatment? What course are we going on? And that just adds another stressful factor to try to figure out if you can even get it.
Exactly. You're thinking, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my kids? Am I going to make it through this? You can't be worrying about how you're going to pay your bills as well.
Yeah. What do you tell people on the other side of this? Like, I always say on my show, I get all kinds of calls, and a lot of people in the middle class upset because their premiums went sky high, and hey, they understand, they feel good that other people got health insurance. Do you think this irons itself out? Is there a way, you're never going to please everyone, but is there a way to, as this goes further down the road, to fix some of those bumps?
Absolutely. And for the vast majority of people, costs are lower than they would have been without the law. I understand that there are still, everything is still rising. We're trying to bring that down. But if people in your community can't get health care, that's not some random person. It's the handyman who comes to your house. It's your plumber. It's the cashier at the grocery store. It's real people. It's your cousin. It's your next door neighbor. These are actual real people who are part of your life.
So how do you get those health care costs down, going deeper? How do you get that down?
So I think there's a couple of different ways. One is that the entire way the healthcare system is set up right now, it's focused on doing more, 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 more.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us think that we need more, 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 more. If my back hurts, the only way to fix it is to get an MRI. That's almost never going to help.
Right.
And so part of it is the system not being so focused on doing more, 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 more. And part of it is us as people not feeling like we have to have a pill, we have to have a test. The second piece is for all of us to focus more on our health, is to exercise and eat right and get our checkups when we need them and really think about how are we protecting our own health so we don't get sick in the first place.
So prevention, and sometimes mm-hmm. that gets poo-pooed, though, that, oh, they're spending, how much are you spending on prevention? And does it really work? Have you seen that work? Have you seen people get it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you are 300 pounds and you lose 100,
right,
your blood pressure comes down, your cholesterol comes down, your diabetes gets better. You see it before your very eyes.
Where it changes the makeup of you having to take pills and the things that you're having to do, it comes down because you're eating better. Why, as a doctor, why doesn't that emphasize more, the nutrition aspect?
You know, for doctors, honestly, a lot of us aren't taught a lot about nutrition.
Right.
Because the system is focused on the latest MRI and whatever scan and
right.
fancy gadgets.
Right.
We don't learn about nutrition very much. Yeah. Not exactly to tell people. And the other piece is that we don't have a lot of time often. If you're a primary care doctor, sometimes you have 15 minutes to see a patient. It's pretty hard to go through what did you eat for breakfast and lunch and dinner.
Right. Right. What do you think is the biggest of all the things that we're battling? And I mean, and there's everything, you know, you run the gamut from cancer to diabetes to, you know, whatever. What do you think is of everything out there that's scary, that's going on, that's happening to people? What's the worst?
Oh, there's so many.
so many devils out there that can get you. I know.
I think, honestly, it's our whole transition to, like, a more sort of sedentary life, and I'm absolutely, you know...
Sitting.
I'm sitting. We're both sitting right now. But, you know, we're not as active as our ancestors were. We're not eating as much unprocessed food as our ancestors were. I think these daily, day-to-day life things that we're doing to ourselves, that's the biggest risk to our health.
You know, they're talking about making desks where you stand.
Yeah,
because I've seen them too. And you know, you can sit on the ball, but desk doesn't always work, and especially in most traditional offices, they're not going to be rolling around on a bunch of balls. But it is funny because the statistics on being sedentary, and then you realize the effects that has on you. And I guess that would be one of the areas to combat.
Exactly.
As to trying to get moving at least a little bit more, or take a walk at lunch, or, you know, whatever it might be. When you look at the younger generation coming up, because we certainly know the struggles of the older generation, and now because we're coming into baby boomers where there was more processed food, like you said, the ancestors, they were running around constantly chasing after people, working however hard they were working, from working in fields to working in businesses or whatever, and so that's changed. What do you fear for the younger generation if this whole healthcare thing isn't straightened out the best that it can be?
You know, I feel like we're at this point where we're starting to decide that healthcare is a right. When the Affordable Care Act was passed, when millions of people started to get healthcare, we've started to move toward that healthcare is a right in this country, and I want our kids to know that and to feel that and to grow up assuming that's just a given. I think if the tax credits go away and the whole system starts crumbling around us, then that won't be the case, and that's not what I want for our country.
Do you think, because I think this is what happens, people are afraid to go to the doctor because they're worried about the cost, or do you think that'll just intensify even more if we see that happen with the subsidies?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they just say, forget it. I mean, so I don't feel well. I'm just going to ignore it.
Exactly. I mean, there are estimates that 9,800 people every year will die because they don't have health insurance, and it's not that, you know, they show up at the hospital and they get turned away. It's that by the time they make it to the hospital, it's too late. I've taken care of those patients. It's heartbreaking.
Meaning that you saw an infection or something that could have been easily treatable?
Mm-hmm. Or a cancer that by the time it comes to you, you take one look and there's nothing to be done. It's not right.
Well, and one of those is like colon cancer, because colonoscopies have a pretty good high rate of getting somebody in faster, don't they? And people avoid that, and then they're worried about the cost. And isn't that one of the things that's covered?
Yeah, that's one of the things with preventive care, cancer screenings. It's covered.
Wow. Health. Tell us about Doctors for America.
Sure.
Tell us about the organization.
Doctors for America is thousands of doctors in all 50 states who have come together over the past few years because we believe that the country needs to put patients over politics and make sure everyone has access to health care.
Patients over politics. That's a good tagline. Patients over politics. And do you find, I mean, now when you reach out on the Hill, and try to, do you reach out to Republicans and Democrats? Because you know that you're going to get more support from Democrats. But have you been able to reach out to some Republicans and have those conversations?
Absolutely. I mean, health impacts everybody. It's not like only half of the country ever gets sick.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? I want to be in that half of the country.
I'm pushing my party.
That's right. If you can guarantee that for me, I'll do whatever I have to do.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so crazy. And have you, as this organization's growing, and there's more of a need for that, isn't there? Because healthcare is just so huge in general. I mean, and there's nobody that's going to say, I always say on the show, I don't care if you're left of left or right of right or somewhere in between. I mean, who is not? Health is everything.
It is. It is. If you're not alive, then nothing.
Well,
nothing matters.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if you make millions of dollars and then you're riddled with some illness,
exactly.
I mean, either way, and it doesn't discriminate. Diseases don't discriminate on your economic level.
Exactly.
That's for sure. Well, you were a delight. Dr. Chen, Doctors for America. You can look them up. Thank you so much.
Thank you
Appreciate
so much.
It.
Thanks. Take care.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Extend your life with this Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm really glad my buddy Mark turned me on to GunsAD.com. I got to tell you, I didn't want to buy any more firearms. I didn't want a paperwork trail headed back to Big Brother. I want 100% privacy. I want to be an invisible gun owner. Hello? So Mark says, hey, you know, GunsAD.com, Ghost AR-15. Ghost means invisible. Get it? Ghost AR-15, GunsAD.com. I got a couple, if you know what I mean. Go to guns80.com or call 844-2GUNS80.
This is Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year, in addition to the emotional stress on employees and their families. That's why Famous Footwear is committed to raising funds to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in the March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
America tonight. You just heard Dr. Chen, obviously very passionate about what she believes is the problem with doing away with the subsidies. And, you know, it's such a mixed bag. As I said, when we came to Washington, we were going to shake it up and look at all sides, from the left to the right, from the in-between, and from people who just are frustrated and want super good health care and don't understand why the system is so difficult to maneuver. So in Washington, D.C., a couple of things, some big odds and ends. Bibi Netanyahu talking to both chambers of Congress was huge, needless to say, because remember, the Supreme Court oral arguments are actually on Wednesday. So while there's a big buildup for that and a lot of conversation about that, Netanyahu was overwhelmingly the story in D.C. So the Prime Minister warned Tuesday that this proposed agreement between world powers and Iran was simply a bad deal that would not stop Tehran from getting nuclear weapons, but instead would go 180 degrees in the opposite direction and pave the way to it getting lots of them. them and leave Israel in grave peril. Look at a map and obviously look at the tensions that have been there forever. So it was a pretty dramatic address, I think, to Congress. Anywhere you went today in the afternoon, that's what everybody was talking about. As I said, here in D.C., that was absolutely the buzz. He said this is a fateful crossroads of history. He openly sided with President Obama's Republican critics, and there was a furious reaction from the White House. They couldn't get that reaction out fast enough from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And so the relations between Washington and Israel could not be in the worst spot than they've been for many, many years that I can recall. So a couple of quotes from Netanyahu said, "We've been told that no deal is better than a bad deal. Well, this is a bad deal. It's a very bad deal. We are better off without it." And he said, you know, in building up this case, that Iran wasn't just bent on, hey, nuclear weapons, but they want to eat up defenseless countries in a bigger play for their dominance in the Middle East. And here's another quote from him. He said, "We're being told that the only alternative to this bad deal is war, and that's just not true. The alternative to the bad deal is a much better deal." And of course, there were lots of cheers, especially in the House chamber, and just issuing a firm warning that Israel is going to stand alone, if necessary, to defend, as he called, the existence of the Jewish people, that's the peril here. So the White House, what they said, they didn't really disguise what they were saying about Netanyahu, obviously upset because he's been in this public brouhaha with the president for almost his entire time in the White House, and stepped up, you know, the criticism, the talks between the world powers and Iran on a deal. And so Netanyahu, after he finished up, he said, you know, this is how I feel, and this is how we're passionate about defending our country, obviously. And when Obama, who said he wasn't going to watch Netanyahu, when he wrapped up, Obama said, when he was talking to reporters, that there's nothing new in Netanyahu's address, what he said. And even a little bit further than that, because he was meeting with the defense secretary, he said, but on the core issue, this is Obama, which is how do we prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, which would make it far more dangerous and would give it scope for even greater action in the region. The prime minister didn't, this is what Obama says, didn't offer any viable alternatives, which he didn't go into alternatives. That's true. He talked about the danger of allowing them to build up their nuclear arsenal. So, I mean, this is, it's crazy, what used to be such a long, solid alliance between the U.S. and Israel, but that this now is, you know, nothing but deterioration since the start of really 2009, when Obama came into office. The other thing that was released from somebody in the administration was that not one idea, not one single concrete alternative, all rhetoric, no action. So that's pretty much the message from Washington, from the White House, that there's nothing new here. He didn't say anything new. There was nothing that came out of this that blew us away, basically. And of course, Netanyahu, as you all know, to recap, was not in Washington at the invitation of the press, but was there to give the speech because Republican House Speaker John Boehner decided to invite him. And it certainly exposes the U.S.-Israel alliance to some crazy crossfire, partisan crossfire, really. And you could clearly feel that in the air, and you could hear the conversations, and that really was part of the buzz in Washington, besides this lead-up to what's going to be the Supreme Court hearing on basically the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a., you know, Obamacare. Another quick side note here, which is pretty big, and this is Washington, and this affects all of us, no matter if you're listening to me in Sarasota, Florida, or you're listening in New Jersey, or you're listening in Austin, Texas, you know, wherever it might be. One of the things we've been talking about ad nauseum, frankly, it's just the same rhetoric over and over and over again coming out of D.C., but I almost get tired of saying that because why give any excuse? What's going to happen with the DHS? Well, what's going to happen with the DHS is the clock is ticking, and it looks like there is a deal just to continue the Band-Aid approach. So the Band-Aid seems to be the choice du jour at the moment for anybody in Washington. We'll opt out for a temporary fix because we sure cannot come up with what would be termed as a fix that everybody can live with. And that's exactly what's happened once again. It's the hot potato being pushed down the line. Because we only have just a couple of days left. So that's the major discussing. So is it a victory for Obama? The House okayed the funding for DHS. So now the Band-Aid moves off temporarily. That's why I say temporarily. Because did John Boehner cave in on this whole amnesty thing? Or what's that about? The funding for DHS, though, ends temporarily as well, the word of the moment, the standoff on immigration. So approving that funding bill essentially pulls that out. The House voted 257 to 167 for the legislation. So it goes to the president's desk. The final legislation includes no immigration provisions, was carried over mostly by Democratic votes, and it ended the Band-Aid standoff. So Boehner, faced with really only no options almost, told Republican lawmakers, hey, I'm dropping the immigration demands. He said he believed the decision to vote on a clean bill, considering where we are, is the right one for this team, is how he said it, and the right one for this country. So Boehner's move probably leads to a backlash in the Republican Party, especially since House Republican leaders repeatedly denied again and again that he struck a deal with Nancy Pelosi last week to have that kind of a vote. So the reaction there also is pretty swift. Congressman Steve King from Iowa says this is the sign of capitulation. The mood of this thing is such that to bring it back from the abyss is very difficult. And then you had Pete King, the outspoken Republican congressman from New York, who said sanity is prevailing. I do give John Boehner credit. So short-term funding for the department was set to expire on Friday at midnight. Voting on the final bill Tuesday included 182 Democrats, just 75 Republicans. And, you know, Boehner pretty much said, that's what he told his members, that the only other option would be to allow DHS to undergo a partial shutdown, which would be, he said, awful considering the active terror threats, or to take up another stopgap funding bill, which it was looking like that was going to happen even just moments ago. That's the direction I was going in, and it had it handed to me. No, that changed. So he told lawmakers, you know, it probably wouldn't pass, and he blamed the impasse on the Senate Democrats. So, I mean, we've been caught up in this kind of crazy, cockamamie procedural whirlwind over the past week as they're trying these different options out, and it looked like nothing was going to happen. So what now? It's going to be interesting to see if Boehner hangs on again to his speakership next time around. If he wants it, I think it'd be much, 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 much more difficult. And quickly, here's another thing to throw in that got a little bit swept under the rug because of everything else that's going on. But General Petraeus, he pleads guilty to a misdemeanor charge in a plea deal, and that was years ago, over claims that he leaked that classified information to his mistress. So by doing that, he avoids a trial, which would be embarrassing, and it keeps him out of prison, and over whether he leaked private information to her or not when he headed up the CIA. Federal prosecutors are going to ask the judge for 2 years of probation for Petraeus. All right, thanks for listening to America Tonight, and I'll see you on the flip side.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing
manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.